Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? Maybe curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast. And your host, Michael Michelini.
Welcome to China Business Cast, episode number 24. Today's show, we have Anthony Johnson, a British entrepreneur who has a few ventures in China and a lot of experience hiring and managing staff. But before we get into the interview, I just want to have a three-second moment of silence for those in Tianjin who went through the horrible explosion disaster. Actually, the person that connected Anthony and me for the show, Russell Smith, was just in a building complex next door to the explosions. He's okay, but he's being evacuated like the other local residents. So let's keep everyone in our thoughts and listen to just 3 seconds. Okay, thank you everybody for your respect. We always talk about China business, U.S. business, international business, but we have to realize we're all the same human beings on the same planet. Let's love and respect one another. And hey, let's get to the show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another China Business Cast. We have with us today Anthony Johnson.
That's right.
Thanks for coming on. You were introduced to me by a mutual friend, Russell Smith, so I'm really happy he got us in touch.
Yeah.
And today's topic, we're going to be talking about setting up an office and, more importantly, building a team and keeping them motivated. So from what I've researched about you, you've done a few different ventures in China. So you were in Fujian province, where you set up a recruitment company for teacher placement agency.
And, yeah, that's right.
And then also you've done a Shaolin Kung Fu school in Guilin. So some pretty cool projects. So maybe you could just help fill us in some of the other blanks here with some of your experiences in China.
Yeah, absolutely. We started the Kung Fu school first in Yangshuo, so it's near to Guilin in the countryside. It's kind of a school settled amongst the mountains and rivers. Really beautiful place. Our business partner there was actually a graduate from Shaolin Mountain. So he's kind of like a Kung Fu master that used to train the foreigners in Shaolin. And I met him, I think, in about 2009, 2010. And we set that up then. And then through him, I met somebody else who helped me start up this business in recruitment, which is the one that's set up in Fuzhou and Fujian. And like you said, that recruits foreign teachers to go to China and become teachers of English in various establishments, universities, colleges, private schools, business schools, that kind of thing.
Cool. Really, really interesting stuff. So how did you first get over to China?
I first went in 2006. To learn Chinese in Shandong province in Yantai University. So that was about 9 years ago now. And I play a lot of table tennis here in the UK, so I kind of went to train as well.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Makes you think of the Forrest Gump scene where
yeah, exactly. Goes.
That's awesome. Great. So which one should we start with? I think today we kind of want to talk about some of your experiences with hiring local Chinese. Maybe the placement is the first one. How did you go about like recruiting? Were you like responsible for that, or give us some background?
Yeah, responsible with my. I'd say it's always good to have a local person to work with you, a local Chinese person that you can really trust. People that can find that. Do have a smoother ride, I think, because being a foreigner, even just a language barrier can be enough of a challenge in itself. At that stage, I'd already been in China probably for 6 years. So my Chinese was fairly good, but it still helps to have that local cultural knowledge just to help you get through any barriers. I did a lot of the interviewing myself and helping write the sort of brief for the recruitment. So the process we did normally was just to put an advertisement up on one of the online portals. So you've got, for example, Zhaopin.com, which is kind of recruitment, the main recruitment portal in China. So you can search on their jobs by cities and stuff. So we would put up an advert on that, and then you'd have people that call you up for interviews, and we bring them to our office for interview, basically.
Awesome. So then you said you came to study Chinese. So then was this mostly operating in the Chinese language or in English language, the recruiting and team building?
Yeah, the recruitment adverts were in Chinese because the nature of our business was to recruit foreign teachers. Half of our staff needed to speak English. They're the ones that speak to the foreign teachers, and the other half don't need to. They're the ones that speak to the schools, and then it's kind of a combining and making sure things match up so that it all works out good for the teachers coming over. So I interviewed both of them, so I do interviews both in Chinese and English, which is interesting. But the process is quite different. I mean, I think it depends what city you're in China, because I was in Fuzhou. It probably works a little bit differently to how it does in the West, and certainly different to how it would in Beijing, Shanghai, and cities like Shenzhen. People would turn up for interview, and it's not how it is in the West. People would come dressed, not how you'd expect for an interview, quite casually, and sometimes without a CV. And I even had one guy come and he didn't even know what job he was turning up for. He'd forgotten completely, and he just knew that he was there for an interview but didn't actually know what the role was for. So you get a really broad range of things happening that you would never expect kind of in the UK and probably in the States, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I don't know if listeners are familiar with the cities you mentioned, but yeah, these are not as big city. I guess you prefer the more inner China, real Chinese experience. Cause yeah, these different cities you were doing business in were more local. So
I mostly lived in the second and third tier cities, as opposed to, like you said, you know, the larger cities which have that kind of international scene.
True. Yeah. So then these interviews, what were your criteria? What were you using to find the right people?
I often do things based on intuition a lot of the time, because I think that can tell you an awful lot about someone, especially in China where there's so many cultural differences. I'd go based on my intuition, which I don't know if that's something you'd normally recommend someone do, but that's kind of how I worked things. Criteria-wise, obviously there are certain things like their level of English. Their level of understanding of the West can be important when they're dealing with our teach side. Obviously, they're dealing with people from the States, from Canada, Australia, and the UK. So that's important that they have some understanding of the Western mindset and how it is different to the Chinese, because there are various differences, as I'm sure you've experienced being in China all this time, Michael.
Yeah, it's true. There's so many different differences. So maybe give us an example about how many people did you hire over the course of the business, approximately?
We've probably gone through around about 20-something staff in the time we've been doing it. At the moment, we have about 8 or 9 in the office. We also were setting up a different business at the same time, so I was helping with some of the recruitment of that. That's now split onto a different office, so that's not based with our recruitment company anymore. But the 6 we had at the beginning, we've still got now in the recruitment. So it's been really good in terms of keeping them there, because the new generation of Chinese, I'd say the sort of post-90s generation, the Jiulingho, they call them, right? Mm-hmm. I think they do move on slightly quicker from company to company, and they have slightly different expectations of life than their parents would have done.
That is totally true. They are becoming more westernized, maybe, but... They're looking for any opportunity, and they know they have a lot of choices. So they are, and they want to find the right job that they like. I know there's lots of times people complain that the younger generation just kind of decides they don't like doing the job, and they leave pretty quickly. And it's a new challenge for everyone.
It is a new challenge. That's true. Yeah.
So then once they're in the team, what was the strategy? How do you keep them motivated and interested in the job? And maybe give us some insights here.
Yeah, our strategy from the beginning was really to set up the right kind of culture in the company. I think that's very important. We wanted to make sure people were coming to work because they felt it was in line with what they were doing, and they could really grow and develop there. You know, it was an opportunity to have exposure to foreigners for a lot of them, which can be a very valuable thing in China. People will pay, you know, 500 RMB an hour to have one-to-one tuition in English with a foreigner. And here you are getting paid to speak every day to foreigners as your job. So for a lot of people, I think letting them understand that opportunity for them was a good thing. And making sure they're there for those reasons, for growth, rather than just to work. Because if people are there to, you know, expand themselves, then they're going to be more motivated in the workplace. And also... I'd say we try to do things a little bit differently. Like in China, a lot of workplaces you see, they'll have the kind of, you scan in, scan out, often through fingerprint to show the hours you've done, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of just work for the reason of working. And we try to make things a little different. And we do just little things, like we'd give them, for new staff, we'd give them a 500 RMB budget for their desk. So as soon as they join the team, we say, look, there's 500 RMB, go out and you can spend that on whatever you want to decorate your desk with, to make them feel more settled. Because like you say, it's a challenge of keeping the younger staff settled down. And so they'd go and buy things like goldfish and plants and decorations, and then they'd make their desk feel like their home. And I think that added a bit of sort of spark to the office and made a big difference.
Yeah, I like that. That is a pretty cool. And it's not too much of money, right? And it gets them to feel. Yeah.
And it's not that sort of thing might be quite common in the West, but in China, that's kind of quite rare. And we do other things, like if it wasn't so busy, we'd just get people to shut down their computers, and Fuzhou is like an hour from the beach, so we'd just get everyone in a car or two and take them all to the beach and just give them the afternoon off on the spontaneous. And it's stuff like that, which meant when you do stuff like that for your staff afterwards, when things are busy, they'll be in the office, you know, till 7, 8 at night and working, because you've kind of shown that you care about them, and it's kind of what they expect, really, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, That is pretty awesome. And so it's like a team building, right? But it was like on the fly, so it wasn't even planned. Sometimes I know some companies try to have like hiking together or KTV together, but it's usually like a planned day. I like the spontaneous part of what you're saying. And
yes, and planned as well. We did camping. I think that's all part of it. You have to plan those trips. And obviously, you know, in China, meals are a big deal. So going for things like hot pot, where you're going to sit around the table for 2 hours and get to know each other outside of work is a big deal. It's important.
True, true. How about any baijiu or any drinks?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite having a baijiu myself. Have you accustomed to drinking that yet or not?
I try to avoid it. I got suckered into it earlier on, but now I'm able to deflect it better as I get exactly. Older.
That's an important thing to learn, how to deflect the baijiu question.
So far you're all positive experiences. I hope there weren't, but I'm thinking the likelihood of some kind of HR issues maybe came up. Maybe is there anything you want to share with us?
We had issues sometimes with people working with each other. What I was saying before about the kids, the kind of post-90s generation and the difference between the 80s, we had two girls in our office and they were not getting on, basically, because, well, they're brought up in a different, I'd say it's almost a different world. The kids born in the 80s and 90s, they have slightly different views to each other, and they didn't seem to be getting on at all. It was kind of crucial that they worked together properly. So... we solved that quite easily. I just pointed out, we were on one of our sort of team building days that we're actually at the beach, and I said, wow, it's amazing you two girls can actually get on so well, given that you're, you know, like a good 6-7 years difference in, and that's just amazing how well you get on, which they didn't. But since then, it like shifted something in their psychology, and they go on holidays together now and stuff. It's like, sometimes something like that can make the whole difference, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it could be just the smallest little thing that, you know, I'm not trying to pick on China. I guess it happens everywhere. People sometimes get overly sensitive, and things can come up where they get, you know, misinterpreted, right? Like, it might not even be. So what happened? Was there like a brawl on the beach or something? Or
no, there wasn't any brawls, but there were. You could see that the distance between them was growing, and they were not wanting to talk to each other unless they really had to. And just one thing like that in a small office, because it wasn't a large office, can really change the atmosphere. So it's something you need to pick up on the earlier, better, and to try and change it as quickly as possible. Really, we didn't have any brawls in the office.
Okay. So then, how did the story end? Did they end up working together, or
yeah, they got together very well in the end? Like, I think it was just the recognition of the difference. Because, you know, they're two young ladies. One's probably 23, 24, and the other's about 30. But just the difference of those 7 years in China is a big difference to what the 7 years would be in the West, because I think of how China changed so much over the time they were growing up. They were essentially brought up in two different places. So it was important just to recognized that they were very different people in that sense, because you're going to behave differently when you're brought up in a different setting. And just that recognition, I think, really helped them realize, oh yeah, we are different. We don't have to be the, you know, completely the same with our views and stuff. And it really helped the way they get on. And now they are like best friends. They're literally inseparable. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, the generations are so drastic, and that's, I don't even know if that's really a generation, but yeah, I mean, in China, there's just so many different, so much different history, and depends on when you grew up, and even cities or provinces. I think sometimes there's difficulties in some provinces. I don't know if you hired that way, or were they all locals from the provinces you were there, or were they from other cities, or?
They were locals from around the Fuzhou area, so yeah, they were pretty local, the people we hired.
Okay.
But it's, you're right, like it can, I mean, China's different enough as it is, but when you add on top of that how much it's changed and the difference between, for example, the grandparents' generation now that have been through things like, you know, all the revolution and the famine and stuff like that, and then the parents' generation, and then now the youngsters that are in their sort of between 18 and 25, it really is three separate worlds, and they all need to be treated slightly differently, I'd say. And then you add on top of that, that different cities are developing different paces. So people in Shanghai are still going to be behaving very differently to people from, you know, a city like Wuhan or Xi'an or somewhere that's not as developed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially Shanghainese, I think, are the more, you know, they turn their nose up usually to the lower class, Chinese. And So usually that's good you had locals, because I know locals are usually more stable. Like, just some other insights, like Shenzhen is even more difficult because there's not really locals because it's such a new city. Mm-hmm. So they're not as like, they might not even stay in Shenzhen, where probably in Fuzhou, they are more likely to stay there long term if that's their hometown, their family's there, they have roots there. Yeah. So that's another thing. Yeah, like...
We had the challenge of recruiting in Shenzhen. We're going to have much more talent, I'd say, talented staff, an abundance of people speaking English. We didn't have that luxury, but like you said, we had the sort of the consistency of people being based in that area, so they're less likely to leave. Because people go to Shenzhen from all over China to go and find work, don't they? But it's not, they wouldn't wake up one morning and go, oh, I'm going to go to Fuzhou and find a job there. It's not a place that would really appeal to most youngsters, I don't think.
True. Yeah, so this is some interesting stuff. So for some listeners today, I'm thinking of, they're maybe new to China, or maybe they've been here for a little while and looking to get an office set up with staff. Maybe they're buying from factories or maybe trying to sell in China. So what would you maybe advise them to do?
So I think the first step is, if they haven't got a Chinese partner that can really help them, especially if they're new to China, is to find one. Ideally one that speaks good English if you're still learning the Chinese language. When you're looking for offices, location is very important. In the same way you market a product for your customers, you want to create your office to match the target staff you're looking for, if that makes sense. If you're looking for high-level staff, they might drive cars and you might need things like car parking spaces, or they're going to want to work in a certain part of town. If you're looking like we were for the kind of just people that are just fresh graduates, they're normally riding the bus. So you need to make sure you've got good bus routes to your office. The Chinese cities can be hot, so a 10-minute walk in 45 degrees is not always ideal. Then you've got little things like, obviously, the floor you go on, or the Chinese can be rather superstitious about the number 4, 14, 17.
Yeah, certain numbers. Yeah.
You want to avoid, if you're kind of the 44th office on the 4th floor, you know, they might think twice about coming to work for you, and that can make all the difference.
That's true. A lot of times they skip the floors, right? A lot of times in the elevator, you'll see 3, 5, and then 13, 15.
Yeah, because it does make a difference on the real estate market. Often they have like the 14th floor is the cleaner's floor, and it's a really low, you know, the ceiling height of the floor is really, really low. They kind of just squash it and pretend it doesn't exist.
Interesting. I haven't heard that one. Cool. Yeah. So then, yeah, Chinese partner, just to recap a little bit, and then location for the type of employees you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And then how about, like, I don't know if maybe that's what your Chinese partner helped with, but like with the contracts or with the terms you gave employees, what was normally the structure?
I had help with that with my Chinese partner. I think normally there are things like insurance you have to include with when you pay them. There's also, I'm pretty sure you keep a part of their payment up front. So they will work for kind of a month and get 2 weeks pay. So you've always got that pay in case they decide to leave quickly, which they can do. And yeah, that kind of thing he helped an awful lot with, which was kind of invaluable because how that works can be a mystery.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think maybe even to him or sometimes the Chinese even think it's a mystery, right? So cool. Maybe some fun stuff. So I saw a video online. I think if you don't mind, we can link it on the show notes. You were on the Chinese dating TV show Fei Chong Wu Rao. For those familiar, maybe give us a little bit of a story behind this.
Oh, to be honest with you, I went on just to have a laugh. We have the same show in the UK. It's called Take Me Out. I hadn't really watched Fei Chong Wu Rao, so in my head, it was just a good laugh, and it wasn't as serious as, I didn't think it was as serious as the Chinese take it, because a lot of the girls on there are looking for a husband.
Wow.
And when you're going on to have a good time, I'm not sure that's always the best approach. But that's literally what I did. I thought it would be good fun, good experience, which it was. It was fantastic. I recommend any foreigner, I think, who speaks fairly good Chinese will be able to get on there no problem. You kind of just apply online, they'll call you up for an interview, and then you go to the interview, talk to them a little bit, and they're normally happy to have you on. So it's a very interesting thing to do. And it has quite high viewing rates in China, or it used to. I'm not sure about at the moment. It used to be, I think it had about 100 million viewers.
Cool.
So it's good. Yeah, it's good fun.
So did you find your wife there?
I didn't find my wife. I did choose a girl into the show, and straight after the interview with her, I kind of walked off and back to my hotel room because she looked rather different close up under the sort of 2 inches of makeup.
Oh,
than she,
no.
And I was squinting in the lights. and yeah, so I got a call from her a few minutes afterwards, why did you just walk off? Like, I had to get your number off the director. You need to come and take me out for dinner and all this kind of thing. So we went out for a meal and it was all fine. But it wasn't a long-term thing, let's put it that way.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, the makeup, or even if it's not in person, there's even mobile apps now that Photoshop automatically the profile photos and stuff. It's pretty wild.
The eyes bigger, make the skin whiter. Absolutely.
Cool. Thanks again for coming on, Anthony. What are you currently working on, or do you want to share with us where you're
back? Okay, I'm currently working on a natural tooth whitening product, which we're looking to release in the UK in the next couple of months, and potentially abroad as well. And also looking at getting into kind of property development back in the UK. I'm enjoying the fresh air and food at the moment, but China is always calling me back. It's always in my head somewhere. So I'm sure I'll be back there at some point this year. I need to go and touch base in Fuzhou as well.
Okay.
I haven't been back there for a good, I'd say, year and a half now. So yeah, it's definitely some, I need to get back there soon and maybe pay you guys a visit.
Yeah, definitely. Welcome. Also head up and see Russell. He's happy to be in China again too. So great. And then how can people reach out to you or your business or any ways, social media, emails?
You can reach out to me on my email, which is aagdjohnson@gmail.com. That's JOHNSON. So alpha golf delta johnson@gmail.com. That's probably the best place to reach me.
Okay, great. All right. So thanks again, Anthony, for coming on. And I really appreciate it.
No worries. Cheers, Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Anthony, for coming on the show. Please reach out to him and thank him if you enjoyed. Also, I know these shows don't come out too often. I'm trying to make a plan for the show. I'm talking to potential co-hosts or guest hosts. If you have ideas or are interested, I am totally open-minded, so don't be shy. Also, if you're looking to hire a Chinese assistant for your business and need a hand, check out my service, ChinaBusinessAssistant.com. I have a package where I can give you some online training and qualified candidates to take your business in China to the next level. Check it out at www.ChinaBusinessAssistant.com. Thanks again, everybody, and I will see you next time. Take care.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.